What does the Lord require of you but to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? Last Sunday, during a Christian formation meeting that was held between the two services, I was asked if I was preaching this Sunday. I said, yes. The gospel's about the Beatitudes, so it shouldn't be too difficult for me. And Dottie Schwinn said, all you have to do is think of something new to say. And that's the trick, isn't it? We're on a 3-year lectionary cycle in the Episcopal Church, so we hear the same scripture readings over and over. But for me, at least, every time I hear scripture, I hear something new and different that I don't remember hearing the last time it was read. So I'm not sure if my memory is that bad or if there really is something new. I do know for sure I'm not at the same place in my walk in faith as the last time I heard whatever the reading was. But I thought before looking at the gospel, I really feel compelled to talk about the words of the prophet Micah. What does the Lord require of you but to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? Excellent choice in hymns, by the way. To please God, one must act in a positive way toward one another and toward God. The prophet spells out 3 positive actions. To act justly. Justice involves bringing people into a right relationship with God and with each other. And a right relationship produces righteous lives. God's law provides very specific guidance in regard to just behavior. Justice requires witnesses to be honest and impartial. According to Deuteronomy 24:17, it requires special consideration for widows, orphans, and other vulnerable people. To love mercy. We had a discussion in the sacristy this morning about the Hebrew language and all the various, and how difficult it is, and on all the various meanings of words that we don't exactly have good translations for. Love mercy. Mercy is translated as kindness, loving kindness, mercy, goodness, faithfulness, love. When it applies to God, it is fundamentally an expression of his loyalty and devotion to the promises of the covenant. Like the Greek word agape in the New Testament, it's a word that involves action. Kindness or love as expressed through kind and loving actions rather than just internal feelings. And to walk humbly with our God. If we are to please God, we must walk humbly with God. A person who is humble is not arrogant or boastful. A person who walks humbly with God understands that everything they possess is a gift from God. A person who walks humbly with God will try to determine where God would have them go, rather than to set their own direction based on their own wisdom. Before Christ was born, Micah saw that his nation and every individual must find spiritual life through trusting in the Lord. God is much more interested in our lifestyle than the ceremonies and sacrifices we may perform. It's about how we relate to God and one another. This is a perfect complement to today's gospel. Although the verse is from the Hebrew portion of the Bible, it is an excellent summary of true discipleship and fits well with the gospel of today. For the next 4 Sundays, the gospel reading is going to be from the 5th chapter of Matthew's gospel, which comprises the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. This portion today contains the Beatitudes. Now, according to Bible scholars, a beatitude is a blessing or announcement of God's favor. Of the 44 found in the New Testament, the majority are found in the Gospels of Matthew and Luke. In the Old Testament, most are found in Psalms and in the writings of wisdom. If we were to look at various translations of the Bible, we would see a beatitude translated in many ways. Blessed or blessed is one that we hear most often. But we also find the word happy used. But I think that, in my mind, the modern use of the word happy seems to devalue what Jesus was really trying to teach. But I do like the translation, how fortunate are those. I think that one of the most important things to grasp is that God's favor rests on those with whom society regards as the people on the margin, the ones left behind, the poor in spirit, the meek, the mourners, the merciful, those who hunger for justice, the pure-hearted, the makers of peace, and those who are mistreated. So I thought we'd take a closer look. How fortunate are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. The poor in Jesus' day had few possessions, were usually oppressed, and had little power and less hope. They had no resources to fall back on and had to depend on others to survive. They humbled themselves before God and acknowledged that they bring nothing of their own power or possessions to enter the kingdom. They lived their lives in total dependence on God to supply their every need. The good news is that the poor person is not excluded because of their poverty. The rich person is not accepted because of their wealth. Both must humble themselves before the Lord in order to enter the kingdom. How fortunate are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. I quote St. Gregory, "The more one ascends in meditation of divine truth, beauty, and goodness, and then realizes the poverty of human nature, man can only be left in sorrow. When one contemplates that we were made in the image and likeness of God, and lived in paradise, the Garden of Eden, and compare that to our present state after the fall, one can only mourn our present condition." But the sentence continues that they shall be comforted by the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, and hopefully one day in the kingdom of heaven. The Holy Spirit will comfort them in heaven. And mourning in this context is called a blessing, because mourning, the fallen nature, creates in us a desire to improve ourselves, to do what is right. How fortunate are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Now, in the Bible, the meek are those who have a spirit of gentleness and self-control. They are not violent and do not seize power for their own use. In other words, they emulate the nature of Jesus. They may be gentle, but they work for the needs of the weak and oppressed. They will inherit the earth, a land that signifies more than just a simple possession. It signifies a sense of place, security, an inheritance from God. The new creation will not be possessed by the powerful, the ruthless, or the schemers. It will be possessed by the meek, or those who walk in the Spirit of God, so that the qualities of Christ can be manifested in them. How fortunate are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Now, I think that this beatitude is saying much more than what people think. It's not simply describing people who are righteous, who are trying to do good things. It describes their passion in life. They hunger and thirst for it. Like the poor and the meek, these people put their lives in the hands of God and hope for his help. St. Paul teaches that the spiritual person is one who yields themselves as instruments of righteousness. So it begins with a commitment to God's will. And the closer one lives to the Lord, the more sensitive they become to the unrighteousness and injustice in the world. The truly spiritual person will begin to long for righteousness. And how fortunate are the merciful, for they will show mercy. We say in the Lord's Prayer, "Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us." People who know more about the mercy of God will be merciful. It's important, then, that we have a good understanding of the grace of God in our own lives. This will come from the experience of confession of sin and thanksgiving for forgiveness. Jesus reminds us that whatever you did for the least of my brethren, you did for me. Here are ways to be merciful to our neighbors, as well as being obedient in faith to Christ our Savior. Feed the hungry. Give drink to the thirsty. Clothe the naked. Shelter the homeless. Comfort the imprisoned. Visit the sick. Bury the dead. Admonish sinners. Instruct the uninformed. Counsel the doubtful. Comfort the sorrowful. Be patient to those in error. Forgive offenses. Pray for the living and the dead. How fortunate are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Moses, St. John, and St. Paul all say that no one will see God here on earth. But Jesus says the pure in heart shall see God. To be pure in heart means to be free of all selfish intentions and self-seeking desires. How does one gain a pure heart? It begins when we repent. When God gives us a new heart, and it comes through continual spiritual growth as we follow Christ and walk in the light, meaning learning to live by the word of God. How fortunate are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. Those who are peacemakers are first and foremost people who understand what true peace is. Their effort is to strive to establish peace that embraces God's peace, so that people will be in harmony with one another because they are at peace with God. Their lives are given to working for the kingdom of God, reconciling adversity, quenching hatred, uniting those who are divided, promoting true understanding and spiritual love. They do this because they know what true peace is. So the quality described here is a spiritual one, not a political seeking of peace. Jesus gives us his peace. He says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you." Peace is also a fruit of the Spirit. And Stephen ends every service of Holy Communion with the peace of God, which passes all understanding. The Lord wants us to be filled with the blessings of peace and then to pass that peace on to those who are in need of it. By imitating God's love of man, the peacemakers become the children of God. And how fortunate are they who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said many times to those who followed him that they would be persecuted. He said, "If they persecute me, they will persecute you. The lesson would simply be that people should live for Christ in this world, living the way members of the kingdom should live, working for righteousness and justice, showing mercy, remaining meek, poor in spirit, all the things that the Beatitudes praise. They should know that genuine righteousness is offensive to many, and so they will need to be prepared for opposition. Jesus is telling us about his kingdom. He tells us that God greatly desires to bless his people in a full and complete way. So who are the blessed? Well, we are the blessed. We who are his followers are blessed. God is at work in you and me, and he will give us his presence, his peace, and his comfort. What does the Lord require of you? But to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. That's the good news I share with you today. Amen.